Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Friday, 26 February. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Nessa Naya, the Resi up, 5% yesterday, absolutely storming, index above 70,000. What's happening? Where next? Nico Muller, Implats CEO, on a record dividend and expansion plans. There was a bigger dividend previously, but it was 13 years ago. Martin Freeman, Orbvest CEO, on investing offshore after the budget speech, and new products coming to market for them. Yesterday's poll, we asked you, how did you rate the budget? 14% of you said really good, 31% said tough but fair, and then a bunch of you said simply not good enough. It was tough but fair. The trick to me, and as I've been saying, is execution. Now we need to see the execution. That is what matters. MoneyWeb Now, brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Morning headlines from CNBC: Facebook signs pay deals with three Australian news publishers. Remember, we chatted with Henry Biddlecombe about this sort of standoff between the Australian government and Facebook and Google. Google caved, paid money. Now Facebook is caving, paying money. Business Day: Goldfields breaks through with biggest solar project to date. NERSA gives nod for the company to build a 40 megawatt solar plant at their South Deep mine. This is how industry gets around the problem with Eskom. The problem with Eskom is they sell less power and then they can't pay off their debt, and Eskom's just in trouble. Morning markets red, red and red. US S&P down 2.5, Nasdaq down 3.5. This as the 10-year Treasury spiked and caused a bit of panic. Asia red, Sydney off 2%, Tokyo 2.6. Commodities red, PGMs a little bit of green, gold 17.71, Rand 15, Rand to the dollar. And top 40 looking for a 1% red opening, about 630 points down.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Nessa Naya. He is portfolio manager at Sasfin Securities. Nessa, there was no chance you missed it. The Resi yesterday up, 5.5%, my bad. And having an absolute stormer. I mean, we had yesterday results from Anglo American. We saw Implats. We've seen more recently, Sibanye-Stillwater, BHP. We're certainly seeing really good numbers coming through. How are you and your colleagues looking at this? I mean, lots of talk around a super cycle. Are you buying into this? Do you think it's got more legs?
Yeah, good morning, Simon. I think certainly in balanced portfolios, you would have found in the last sort of 3 years post 2016, your resource exposure would have constantly ticked up, because this was one sector that certainly outperformed the overall market. Anglo American was up over 7%, a very good result. I think that gave the Resi the boost that it needed. But across the board, even BHP was up, I think, a healthy 3% or so. So, I think there's still fundamentally a lot of interest in resource companies. I looked at the underlying commodities. I mean, iron ore back above 170. you spoke about the surge in bond yields. That's a big theme going through now. And I think it just speaks to the whole reflation theme, the weaker dollar reflation theme, of which commodities are inevitably going to be a huge beneficiary. In dollar terms, I think there may be a little bit more legs, as you put it, in terms of where we could see them going in 2021. So if you're avoiding the resource sector because you think it's peaked, I think you're doing it at your peril.
I think so too. So I agree with you on that. And I'm looking at the Resi 10. you know, it's not actually yet back at those highs of 2008, which is actually quite staggering. The index hit 70, almost 78,000, so we're 10% off the highs. So I agree with you. I think we've got some upside there. A huge bunch of results coming out yesterday. Discovery, the one that caught my eye, the market initially liked it, then sold it off. Discovery is one of those stocks I always suspect people either love it or are deeply suspicious of it. Where do you fall in the Discovery debate?
Simon, it's a tough one, you know. It's a complex business.
Yeah.
You know, they've got the medical aid administration business, which I think is actually a great business. They regularly consume market share. I think they're close to, 67-60% market share now. They just took over the big Liberty Fund, which if you think about their recent history with Liberty, I thought was a little bit surprising. But I think that business is, and a standalone business, even the Vitality business is reasonably okay. The insure business, which is their short-term insurance business, started a few years ago. That looks pretty strong. But, you know, I have to scratch my head about the invest business and the complicated products that, you know, they put to market. I have to scratch my head a little bit about the general, the life business itself, and, of course, the bank, you know. But having said that, you know, this is a company that has had a history of doing very well in the South African market. And, you know, I suppose ultimately, you know, one has to wait and see. But, you know, I think just the level of risk right now with financial stocks, especially in a COVID-19 sort of very, very high unemployment environment, especially for, you know, the companies that are involved in institutional pension funds, in medical aid, you know, even in discretionary expenditure like life insurance and short-term insurance. It's a tough market out there, and, you know, I think probably worthwhile staying away from for the time being.
Yeah, tough and highly, highly competitive. We're that day, Nissan Aya, portfolio manager, Sasfin Securities. So appreciate your early morning time.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth, but with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place?
Offshore.
While earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP.
Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting with Nico Muller. He is CEO of Impala Platinum, Implats as it's colloquially known. Results for 6 months ending December, they're just staggering numbers. The one I'm going to pick on is a dividend of 10 Rand. Last time we saw a dividend at this level was the 2008 final dividend, which came in at 11 Rand 75. The stock was trading around 15 Rand in August 2018. Nico, really appreciate your time today. If my memory serves, you joined Impala Platinum in early 2017. It's been, with respect, a fairly crazy ride, certainly in terms of share price. I imagine internal and operations as well.
Yeah, I think we have been really fortunate. You know, the industry has been in a low price environment since the global economic crisis in 2008, and so I am eternally thankful I joined in 2017, and the first thing that we had to do is we had to pay attention to our operational challenges at Rustenburg, which I think we did in a very definitive way. We committed to a restructuring, and the appointment of Mark Monroe made an immense difference. So I think that we have seen operational traction across a number of our operations, including Marula and in particular Rustenburg, and then we were blessed in the latter part of the calendar year of 2018 with a weakening of the rand, which was followed by a increase in the palladium price, which was followed by rhodium price. So I think the company has been very fortunate in that it's been able to deliver operational performance improvements into a rising price environment. And of course, the combination of the two has resulted in fantastic cash flows. It was 20.1 billion. That enabled a return to shareholders, which we think is well deserved following the long wait.
Yeah, but it has been a wait, and certainly I think shareholders have been rewarded. You mentioned, I mean, rhodium eye-watering prices, palladium holding above that $2,000 for a while now, even platinum's finally on the move back at levels last seen 5 or so years ago, and by all accounts there's still a tightness in that platinum market. If I look at your basket of PGM, you are predominantly pulling platinum out of the ground. What sort of percentages between platinum, palladium and rhodium?
Yeah, so we do have a metal split between the various metals that differ depending on which ore body you mine.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, you'll find on the UG2, you'll find a higher rhodium content. You know, we mine UG2 in the Eastern Limb predominantly. The Merensky reef that we mine in the Western Bushveld is predominantly platinum.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at the group, on average, we have a 50% contribution from platinum, a 35% contribution from palladium, and a 7% rhodium. Of course, the acquisition of North American Palladium at the end of 2019
yeah.
is associated with very high contribution from palladium specifically, and that was done as a consequence of our confidence in the palladium market. In both rhodium and palladium are in structural deficits, and it's forecast to remain so for a number of years. So we forecasted a relatively short payback period. It is so we are currently delighted by the increase in investment demand for platinum, which of course is starting to track the narrative, the increased narrative of the PGM-friendly hydrogen economy that is developing, and so. We think that there is a very strong market for our metals for the next decade.
Yeah, and certainly, I mean, the price of platinum, for forever and a day, it was below that $1,000. It finally got above it and moving. You're looking to add about another 360,000 ounces of production. Some people, commentators out there, saying that there's concern around you and other platinum or PGM miners bringing on that production to market, perhaps actually tilting that tightness of supply into an oversupply. In the case of Implats, that's relatively modest. It's what, about 5% a year. Are you concerned around creating too much supply into the market, or do you think the demand is still strong and can accelerate and take more supply coming in?
So the reality is, if you look at the supply position of the industry, it has declined significantly over the last number of years. I do understand the concerns associated mm-hmm. with industry discipline, but we are very comfortable with the 360,000 ounces of 6E metals that we will place in the market. We, in fact, think that the industry deficits to grow indefinitely, because that will scare the current consumers, the users of our metals, into other technologies. So I don't believe that the announcement of our projects or that of the other peer group is a threat to the market at all.
Yeah, I take your point there. I mean, if the prices are too high, that, you know, it sort of compels industry to find others. I like that phrase, industry discipline. We'll leave that there. That's Nico Muller, CEO, Implats. Results to the period ending December. Dividend, 10 rand. As I said, the highest dividend we have seen since 2008, final dividend. Nico, really appreciate your time today.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Martin Freeman. He, of course, is the CEO of Orbvest. They do medical building and buildings in the U.S., which we can invest into in U.S. dollars. Martin, as always, really appreciate the time. We've just had our budget delivered by Minister Mboweni. You're over in the U.S., but I can't imagine you didn't have half an eye on it while it was happening, if not reading the commentary thereafter.
Hi, Simon. Thanks for having me on your show again. I certainly did. And I must say that I'm very concerned about South Africa. You know, whilst I live in New York, I'd like to remind all your listeners that all my family and friends are still in South Africa. And I, for one, want nothing more than the country to succeed.
I thought it was a budget that was a hint of optimistic, which I think politicians generally are. The bigger issue is with budgets, you know, it's easy to stand up and deliver a speech. Politicians the world over do it. It's about that implementation. It's about actually making it happen. And that's probably the implementation and the optimism are perhaps the biggest risks. So we're talking 1.9% GDP 3 years out. 1.9 is just not enough.
Well, you know, I heard a presentation earlier today from Mark Schussler, and he had one slide that really resonated with me, and that is that he showed the projected versus the actuals of the budgets for the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
And it is obvious that every single budget in the last few years, the government has stated what they will do and achieve, and they've missed it materially. So, as you say, with current debt levels, and with state-owned enterprises bleeding cash and will continue to bleed cash, and the government payroll expenditure at such enormously high levels, the only real option is for the government to either reduce their spending or to cut jobs or freeze the pay. Now, in my mind, this aligns with what he was saying, whereby, you know, ultimately the ANC has got two terrible options. The one is they're going to commit potential political suicide on the one hand with alienating the unions and the voters,
mm-hmm.
or on the other hand, they're going to succumb to the unions and their government employees, and the debt levels are going to go up and they're going to commit economic suicide. So either way, it's a terrible situation to be in, and it's going to be really tough, in my opinion, for South Africans over the coming year or years, notwithstanding any further impact from COVID.
So then parking the budget aside, I mean, does the budget have any impact on Orbvest? I mean, you're investing on behalf of South Africans into U.S. medical.
Well, I don't think it has a direct impact on Orbvest, but what it certainly does do is it paints a very clear picture for all South Africans of the possible future of the economy where they currently stand. As Orbvest, we have now assisted predominantly South Africans invest over 1.5 billion rand into the U.S. real estate market over the 7 years. So the one thing we really do believe is that we offer a great alternative for people to move more of their money offshore into a world-class stable currency where they can earn these consistent returns in dollars,
mm-hmm.
and allow their wealth to grow over time. Instead of worrying about every single night the South African economy and the rand, is it going up, is it going down?
Yeah, you mentioned the rand there, and I mean, at the moment, our rand has been on a bit of a strengthening. Watch, it's weakened in the last couple of days, but we're sub 15. Your take on that? I mean, I always look at, you know, when the rand collapsing, that's not when you want to be taking the cash offshore. You get some rand strength, as we're seeing now. Is your view that this is the opportune time to look at some offshore?
We've spoken about this, and the rand will absolutely continue to always gravitate up and down. And people's sentiment is unfortunately often based on the levels of the rand. However, the one thing we can say is that we've got real data and real statistics from all our investors going back 7 years. And the reality is those that have not tried to beat their currency, and I'm not only talking about South Africans, I'm talking about people in Brazil, Israel, Australia, mm-hmm. UK, China. Those people have consistently invested over time, and they've always managed to average out. And that's the best outcome, and we've seen the value of their offshore investment grow over time. So in summary, our view is with the rand at the current level and the economy under huge pressure, it really does remain a great time to move some of your money offshore. We offer a great alternative, and investors anywhere in the world, and we really do mean anywhere in the world, can literally be invested in real estate in the USA within a couple of days.
Let's bring it back to the USA. We're seeing pictures of vaccinations happening in America for COVID-19. We can debate how the response to the disease was, but the vaccination rollout is certainly happening. A significant portion of the population already vaccinated. How has 2021 started for Orbvest specifically, but the US generally, as someone who's, as you said, living and working in New York?
So I can tell you that there's an enormous amount of optimism that's brewing within everyone in the US, given the fact that they're vaccinating 1.5 million people a day the various additional providers. That's going to escalate up to 3 million a day, nearly 100 million people. So this optimism is coming through the economy in terms of the stimulus package. and also the fact that people are going to get back to normal. Remember that we are now going into June, which is the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we look at the backdrop of that and we ask how it's been for Orvest, we really have managed to pick up from where we left off in 2020. Our inflows from our investors globally over the past couple of weeks has been amazing, which means that we have now sold out on Medical 30, the previous project. Mm-hmm. We're going to be launching two new products in the coming 2 weeks. The first is a new building in one of our existing states called Medical 31. I unfortunately can't disclose all the details of this until the final PSA, which is a purchase and sale agreement, has been signed. But what I can say is it'll be like all our other buildings, a good medical ops building in a great location with multiple tenants and great returns, and especially with long leases, which always makes it a relatively low-risk deal.
And talking of these deals, I mean, we've been through the pandemic, and I've chatted with you a couple of times, and there's been an impact, but my sense is there hasn't really been an impact on returns. What sort of returns are Orbvest investors looking for over the duration?
Well, all our buildings are projected to generate 7-8% cash dividends per year, which are paid out quarterly, or we simply won't buy the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the period, which is around 5 years, we sell these buildings and we generate a profit, which is called capital appreciation. When you add your dividends and your capital appreciation together, that will always deliver to investors a double-digit return. And in fact, one of our projects which we're exiting right now, to give an example, the total returns to investors will be around 11.5%. Which is simply amazing in US dollars consistently every single year.
Yeah, it's 11.5% is a decent return. Dollars, excellent return. Last question. You and your colleague did a webcast for us at MoneyWeb earlier in February. One of the things you touched on was your diversified holdings. In other words, rather than me as an investor going into an individual building, you kind of pull it up, take the funds and put it into a couple of different buildings. I've had a few people ask me, are you going to be bringing that offering back to potential investors?
So I am thrilled to be able to say that in the next week, we're going to be launching ODH4, mm-hmm. which is our Orvest Diversified Holdings number 4. The ODH product, as you said, instead of someone going into one building, you invest from as little as $5,000 to $1 million or more, and we then spread your investment across a minimum of 8-10 buildings. So we really do take your money and diversify your risk even further. And so, as you'll recall, we had such a brilliant response on ODH 1, 2, and 3 last year and literally sold out in weeks. We expect the same this time around. So we will be launching ODH 4. And what that means, if you then take this in relative terms to the Rand, is that anyone in South Africa with 75,000 Rand can become an offshore investor in real estate in the US.
Yeah, and get that medical exposure and get those returns. We'll leave that there. That's Martin Freeman. He's Orbvest CEO. Martin, appreciate your time. The show is brought to you by Orbvest's medical multi-tenanted Class A office buildings located in key American cities. For more information, visit orbvest.com. Orbvest SA is an authorized financial services provider, license number 50483. A poll that we're asking you today, lots of talk about us being in early stages of a super commodity cycle. Do you buy into the theory? Yes, lots more upside. Last time ended in tears. It did. We'll wait and see. I think we've got a lot more upside. Commodity super cycle, not so sure. Upside, I think absolutely. That's it for today. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available from 7 a.m. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Cordora, and Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday.
Listen to the live stream of MoneyWeb Now at the same time every weekday. For more business, finance, and investment news, MoneyWeb Now on the Money. Also available on podcast.